Good morning to each of you, and it's good to see each of you here. I welcome you. This morning I want to talk about an extraordinary woman from the Bible, of course, and it is still time where we are celebrating and remembering the birth of Christ. There was a sign in a ministry window that I saw. It says, Mary, pray for us. I received a pamphlet from someone that mentioned Mary, the mother of Jesus, as the sinless one. Catholic dogma teaches that she was taken to heaven bodily, where she was crowned as the Queen of Heaven. Her role today is mediatory and intercessory, according to Catholic dogma. Therefore, multitudes direct their prayers to her instead of to God alone. Pope John Paul II declared his total devotion to Mary. He dedicated his whole pontificate to her and had an M for Mary embroidered in all his papal garments. He left the care of the Roman Catholic Church to her in his will. Now you know where I'm going in the message this morning. Mary is the extraordinary woman that I want to talk about this morning. And I take some of this from a book that I received. Jeffrey Briggs wanted me to have all of his books when he passed away. And one of them was Extraordinary Women by John MacArthur. And there's many women mentioned in the book. And so, I want to say that I believe that Mary was an extraordinary woman. She was chosen by God. Of all the women in the entire human race, you can only imagine from the time that God promised Adam and Eve that from the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And the thread of redemption was promised all the way back to Eve. And so you can imagine living in the Old Testament time where the women and the holy women read the scriptures and read the law and the prophets, and they most likely all wondered if they would be the one chosen to bear the Christ child. And the prophecy of Isaiah and Micah and many of the other prophecies throughout the Old Testament that prophesied of the coming Messiah would be a child. And so Mary was chosen to bear the Christ child. But I do not believe, and we do not believe, that we idolize Mary over Jesus. And I do not believe that we are to pray to Mary today. Nowhere in the Bible are we told to pray to Mary. And we are not told that she is crowned as the Queen of Heaven over Jesus. And I've heard some tell me that you must go through Mary to get to Jesus. And that is taught by some, that she is the mediator between her and Jesus. And so there's, I believe, a lot of people that would idolize Mary, and we must be careful. Any hero of the faith, we are studying Anabaptist history, and we must be careful that we do not idolize great men. They were not perfect, and all the Anabaptists, although it was a great movement, were not perfect. And I believe that is something we must be careful, that we do not become to the place where we idolize people. In Luke 1:48, and we're going to look at Mary's life and go through the story. But when the angel appeared to her, she said, "For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." So why was Mary blessed among women? She was indeed honored tremendously to be chosen to bear the Christ child. She had a life that we're going to look at. Her life is to be admired. And we stand back in amazement that there was a remnant And there were people in the day when the time came to pass, when Christ came into the world, there were still people who were following the Lord and seeking God amongst all the idolatry and all the backsliding that Israel went through. There were still people who were zealous for the law and zealously following the Lord, and God chose Mary. She was blessed. And we're going to look at her life. She was truly an extraordinary woman. But a careful study, I believe we must make sure that all are kept in the rightful place, including Mary. She is not one that we pray to, and we do not look to her for help today, because Jesus is clearly ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, and He is the great High Priest over the whole house of God, and all are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace and come to Jesus. And so no one can take the place of the great High Priest who ascended into heaven. And so when we have troubles and when we have difficulties in life, we come to Jesus, the great High Priest, who fulfilled the Old Testament law and the Old Testament priesthood. And today we have that great privilege by faith to coming directly into the throne room of grace. So let's come there today and take a look at this story. So a little bit about Mary's life. Nazareth and Bethlehem were insignificant towns. We had the privilege of spending time in Nazareth. In our trip to Israel, it was a blessing to be able to do that. And it was significant. I did want to see the little town of Nazareth. And today, you can't really see too much that'll give you a picture of what it was like 2,000 years ago. But we did spend time. There's one scene that I'll never forget is that little mountain. There's only one mountain surrounding Nazareth. And there's a site there that we spent some time on, that little mountain where it says that Jesus was in the synagogue in Nazareth. And He spoke there in Luke chapter 4. And they drove Him out of the synagogue up to the mountain. They tried to push Him off the cliff. And so Cliff Schrock and I were climbing that mountain together, and we said to each other, I'm sure Jesus, as a little boy growing up in Nazareth, I'm sure He climbed this mountain, so we're going to climb this mountain. And it was kind of an exciting experience. We're sure. I'm sure Jesus climbed that mountain. And then we acted out the story of them trying to push Him off the cliff. I was one that acted out that story, and they were trying to push me off the cliff. And just the town of Nazareth, very much, I believe, like Shenandoah. I've heard many people talk about Shenandoah, and they say, you live in Shenandoah. Anybody ever hear that? You moved from Lebanon County to Shenandoah. Why would you do that? And you drive through this town, and if you don't really have a kingdom perspective, you wouldn't really understand why. But if you have a kingdom perspective, and you understand that God wants the gospel to go into all the world, including Shenandoah, and some great things can come out of Shenandoah, we believe that. And so that's why we're here. And that's what was said about the town of Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Well, that's where God chose. There was a young girl, Mary, growing up. We don't know exactly how old she was, but she lived in this little Shenandoah, if you will. It was a town that had a tag to it, and not much was happening there. It was a poor town. And that's where you have this woman who was godly and favored and blessed abundantly, and she was chosen from that town. And I love that part of the story where she was from Nazareth. She was from a humble family with no great expectations, I believe. I just picture her going through her life, diligent in her work. And I believe she was diligent in the scriptures and studying God's word and the law, the Old Testament law. I believe she had had godly values. I believe from what the scriptures tell us that she was studying the scriptures and studying the law, and she knew a lot of the prophets. You can see when the angel visited her response, she knew the law and she knew the scriptures. Many scholars believe that she was a teenager. We don't really know exactly how old she was, but she was young. And she was a virgin. She was carefully trained in the scriptures and the law, possibly memorizing a lot of the scriptures, and she knew that God had promised the Messiah. She knew that. She read that. I believe she was aware of the great promise. She maybe thought about it, that she could be the one. Could I possibly be the one? And I believe she lived with the expectation, and there were some, we're going to see, Simeon and Anna, and there were those that were reading the scriptures and reading the law, and they were looking with great expectation of the coming Messiah. And I believe they could sense that the time was getting close, and those that followed the Lord, I believe, had this inner sense that the time is getting close, and they felt it coming. And I believe the same thing is true when Jesus comes back the second time. Those that are following the Lord and following the Bible and in tune with the Spirit of God, they can just sense it. And there's something inside that you kind of know we're in the times, and you know it's coming, and you just are following the Lord. And it was a little that way, I believe, with Mary. She lived with this expectation that the Christ child would be born soon. Now let's go to the Bible, and we have the announcement. One day in her life, this happened in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be the son of the highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she is also conceived in a son in her old age, and is in the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. So the announcement happened one day. She was going about her daily work. We don't have a lot of details, but Gabriel was sent to announce this great story and to tell her that what she was chosen to be and her calling and lot in life. Now, I do not believe that she was expecting this. I think maybe she possibly thought about it. We can imagine a little bit here, but I believe this was a surprise and a tremendous honor. She was, it's very clear from the scripture that she was a virgin. She was pure. She was betrothed in the state of betrothal, which was, they were considered married at that time under Jewish customs and Jewish marriages. They do them a lot different than we do today. A young man is interested in a young girl, and the first thing they do is they sit down, the parents begin to talk, and the father examines this young man a bit, and they come up with what is called a contract. And the dowry is decided upon, how much this young bride is worth. We don't do that anymore today. It was quite different. But after the agreement was all finished, They drank from the cup together. When they were committed to each other, they drank from the cup. And then they were considered a betrothed. And they were considered husband and wife, although they yet were not living together. So the bridegroom went to prepare a bridal chamber, and the bride got ready, and she was in this state. She was betrothed. And they were waiting. There was this great expectation. There was a commitment to purity. The brides at that time wore a veil. That was to signify that they're betrothed and they're not available. They're preparing for a wedding. I'm married already. And she was in this state. And this is when the angel came in a time like this and said that she is chosen to bear the Christ child. Jesus will be born in her womb. You can only imagine how this would have felt and the questions that would arise in Mary's mind. The next point, I want to look a little bit at Mary's faith. So this is Mary's life, just a little glimpse into her life. And now I want to give you a glimpse into her faith, the strong faith that she said. And she was taken back. And she said in verse 34, how will this be? And as I was preparing for this sermon, I thought that might be the title. And I started out with that, maybe giving a whole message. And I could talk all morning about how will this be? And circumstances in our life where we face, all of us could get up and testify, where we face things in our life, where we stand back and we say there is no possible way. How will this be? And Mary just stood there and the angel Gabriel said, you're going to become pregnant. And she said, I know not a man. How will this be? And I'm committed in marriage. And whatever you're going through, whatever you have just went through, maybe you're going through a trial right now where you're saying, Lord, how will this be? And I want you to think about Mary's experience. What will people say? Maybe you could title the message that way. What are people going to say? How will I even explain this to people? How will people understand me? No one will understand me. And she responded with fear and apprehension. This call was huge. Her call could not be fulfilled by herself. And I just want this to just minister to everyone here this morning as you ask these questions in your own life. How will this be? I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're struggling with something in your life you just can't overcome. And you say, how can I overcome this? And you come before the Lord. Like Mary, she came with a faith that was strong, and the angel responded to her. I love this. The angel responded to her and said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you, and the Holy One, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. And this is really how it happens in all of our lives. Some of us have hardships that are harder than others. And if we would all take time to testify and share this morning things we're struggling with, some of you possibly would be a little slow to really share because you maybe wouldn't feel comfortable sharing the things you're going through right now. But I want to tell you to respond with a faith like Mary. She came. The angel came to her with this assurance, and I believe this assurance is for all of us this morning. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. You say you don't really have to do anything, just have faith. And it sounds very easy, right? Have faith. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. It's faith that connects us with God, and it's faith that we need. And so her faith is to be admired as we think about her response. She believed this, what the Holy Spirit, or what the angel said to her. Many great men and women are called to a work that seems impossible, and there's times in our lives where things look impossible. There's certain things in my life that I'm not sure how they're going to work out, and you possibly have things in your life that you're not sure how they're going to work out, but God has it all figured out. People live with depression and hopelessness because they do not have a strong faith. And I want to encourage all of us to respond as Mary did. The angel said, "Nothing is impossible with God. For with God, nothing is impossible." This is a verse that I have on the wall of my study. And I've sat with many people over the years. I remember hearing people's stories. And I listed a whole list of names. We sat together. And it just looks impossible. And I have them look up on the wall and read it out loud. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And do we believe that here this morning? Nothing is impossible with God. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And faith is the victory. Mary could not understand it, but she could believe it. And she could receive it. And she could get a hold of it by faith. And she says, "I'm your servant." She responded as a servant. Behold, in verse 38, Mary said, after this promise, "For with God nothing shall be impossible," in verse 37, Mary responded and said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose and went into the hill country to visit Elizabeth and share her heart with Elizabeth. So let's respond in our lives with faith. Let's respond to the Lord with faith and obedience, walking with the Lord and believing that He can do anything. I believe her time with Elizabeth was very precious. She spent 3 months with Elizabeth, and she could empathize because they both had a similar experience with Mary was young and experienced a miracle of becoming pregnant by the Holy Spirit without knowing a man, and Elizabeth was beyond childbearing age, and she was pregnant with John the Baptist. So they could empathize and share their stories together. Next, I want to look at Mary's praise. She responds with praise. It's in verse 46. The praise, the song of praise, and it's very prophetic, and it's called the Magnifica, and it is rich. We could spend a lot of time in this point of Mary's praise. In verse 46 to 55, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for God hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. For he hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and the exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. Sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers Abraham and to his seed forever." So Mary's praise. She breaks out in praise. Her song of praise is very similar to Hannah. If you read Hannah's experience in the Old Testament, a lot of them follow the same. Her spirit and soul is rejoicing and magnifying the Lord. God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. In verse 48, he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid. His mercy is on them that fear him. He scatters the proud in their imaginations. I praise the Lord this morning that salvation does not depend upon your financial status. And he came to the poor. He chose the poor of this world. It doesn't matter. We're not concerned this morning about whether you're financially succeeding or you're in poverty or whatever your financial situation is. Your salvation does not depend upon silver and gold. Peter said when he came into the temple, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk." So God chose the poor. It doesn't mean that if you're financially successful that you're doomed. And it doesn't mean that if you're poor, you're on your way to heaven. It just means that God reaches all the way down, and Jesus set the example. He did not have a place to lay his head. He did not come down and have a financial status that was as an example, but rather he came down in a lowly estate and God exalted him. Lastly, I want to look a little bit at Mary's pain. Many areas we could look at, but as this story unfolds and the Christ child was born in Luke chapter 2, in verse 22, it says that when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer us sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. So when the time of her purification was complete, they brought Jesus to the temple. And there's two significant people in the temple that they met. Simeon was one, and Anna was the other. Anna and Simeon. And I want to look at Simeon this morning in verse 34 and 35. Simeon was one who was reading the law and following the law. And it was told to him that he would not die till he seen the Redeemer. And he was in the temple that day when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus, the baby, in to offer the sacrifice there and to dedicate him to the Lord as a firstborn. Simeon, it says that he was told he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when his parents brought the child Jesus to him after the custom of the law, he took the child up in his arms and he blessed God and said, "Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and the rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Simeon prophesied to Mary that this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, meaning that many are going to fall. and then rise and come to faith and believe in this child as their Savior. But many will not. And he will be a sign, but also, mothers, you can imagine the great honor that Mary had to be chosen to be the mother of the Savior of the world, and to bring Jesus into the world, give birth to the Messiah, the Redeemer, and the whole story, the traveling to Bethlehem and the giving birth in a stable. But then to hear these words, a sword shall pierce through your soul. And I believe Mary knew what that meant. And I believe she lived with that all through the growing up years where Jesus was being raised and came to adulthood and maturity. She kept thinking, there's coming a day when there's going to be a sword pierced through my soul. And this is going to hurt really bad. This is going to be a tough time. This is going to be hard. And you can only imagine how that would be to live with that. A sword shall pierce through your own soul. She pondered all these things in her heart. It says that Mary pondered these things and thought about these things. And everything that she was told, she pondered them and she thought about them and she meditated on them. But she thought about this one often. I think a sword's going to pierce through my soul. And I believe she knew that it was pointing forward to the time when Jesus would be crucified. Mary treasured up what she heard, from the angel's announcements to her visit with Elizabeth, the dream that Joseph had, the shepherds, and the exciting story of the angels, the long, hard journey to Bethlehem, the plan for the birth in the stables, and also Simeon's prophecy, a sword will pierce through my soul. What does this all mean, and how can I be prepared for this? And I believe Mary was prepared for this, because we move forward in the story where this took place. And the whole reason that Jesus was born was to die. The whole reason that Jesus came into the world as a Christ child was to bring redemption and salvation to the world. It was God's plan of salvation. And God used Mary, but Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the one who offers salvation to the world. And as this story unfolds in John 19... Verse 25. In John 19, verse 25, it's when Jesus was about to die. And it says that there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. There they were, and you could walk through the whole story. This was at the point of death. But we see Mary, the mother of Jesus, standing there. She watched it all. We had the privilege of walking through the city where they believe Jesus carried his cross outside the city to Golgotha, and how everyone was there selling and business was going on, and Jesus went outside the city to Golgotha, and there he hung on the cross to die. And yes, Mary was there by his side. She was feeling the pain, and I believe she remembered Simeon said and prophesied that a sword will pierce through your soul. And you can only imagine, mothers, how this would feel. Yes, the sword did pierce Jesus' flesh, but the sword pierced Mary's soul. And she was the one who had tremendous pain as she went through this experience. And then move down in the story, verses 31 to 33. The soldier, or the thieves on either side, they break their legs. In verse 31, it says, then the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should be remain, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. And here's the verse where this was fulfilled. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. So Jesus has died already, and they came to the thieves, and one on either side, they broke their legs, and they wanted them to die fast. And Mary was there, I believe she was there, and they saw that Jesus had died already, and he took his spear and he pierced his side, and out came blood and water. And that is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you can have your sins forgiven. It is the only way that you can be made clean on the inside. It is the only way. It is the only message that is to go forth today. It is the blood of Jesus Christ. And Mary said, or Simeon said to Mary, a sword will pierce your soul. And so you think about Mary's pain. I believe it was very real. And what Mary went through, she was truly an extraordinary woman. And she had a part in the plan of salvation, that we all stand here in deep humility as we think about the price that was paid for the forgiveness of our sins. So whatever you're going through this morning, as we look at this story, you might be standing here and sitting here this morning saying, how will this be? Maybe you're going through a time in your life of difficulty, and you're saying, how will this be? And I want you to remember the words that came to Mary. I believe the words are applicable to your situation today. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you, and he'll help you. He'll give you power, and he'll take your hand. I believe he wants, and I want you to picture Jesus dying on the cross. We see the story was not for Jesus to be a baby all of his life. He grew up, and he followed the Lord, and he followed the plan of God for his life. And today, he's seated in the right hand of the Father. And so, today, I want you to look by faith and come to the cross where Jesus died. We must travel there by faith. It's the only way. It's the only way to break the chains of sin. It's the only way to find peace with God. It's the only way is to come by faith to the very cross where Jesus died and kneel down. We sing the song sometimes. We haven't sung this in a long time. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. Kneel at the cross and you look up and you see his hand and you see his eyes of love. You can just picture that in your mind this morning. You feel him and you see him reaching out his hand for you, and he wants you to take his hand and follow him wherever he leads you. And just trust him for your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. And thank you for the story of Mary and how she was chosen to bear the Christ child. She was obedient. She had strong faith and she endured much pain. And now she is honored and remembered throughout the pages of history. And still today we remember a great woman with strong faith. And I pray that you would challenge us all this morning, wherever we are, to just reach out and trust you. I pray that you would do great and mighty things in our lives today. Accomplish the impossible in our lives today and give us that faith that Mary had. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.